Invite your congregation to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We'll begin reading at verse 11, reading through verse 19, which will also be our text for this morning. Familiar words, the episode where Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. Luke 17:11-19, these words. On the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Thus far our reading from God's holy word, and may he indeed bless that word to us. Dear congregation, you're probably not accustomed to think of Thanksgiving in terms of percentages, but this passage rather forces it upon us. In fact, this passage is one that reminds us that the God who loves, whose love endures forever, or the Bible as it reminds us that God's love is a love that endures forever, is something quite beyond percentages. Love that endures forever is not something you can exactly put a percentage on. And yet our response to God, sadly, can have something of a percentage to it. We certainly see that here, where 10 are healed and yet only one is thankful. We discover a 10% thankfulness, a 10% thanksgiving in the face of this marvelous miracle that came into their lives. And it gives us pause to reflect how we're living our lives of faith, how we're walking with God, who I'll remind you right at the beginning is a 100% God. How about that? Who's 100% faithful and loving and patient and kind and good and true, who's gracious to you is 100%. It's not withholding and stingy and half-hearted and part-time and barely, but is fulsome and true and more than adequate and abundant, full, 100%. But are we 100% believers? Indeed, we're called to be. Body and soul, life and death, and not my own, but belong. 100%. Body and soul, life and in death, I'm not my own, but his. 100%. Indeed, on this Thanksgiving Day, may we be 100% and beyond thankful. But what do we find here? Well, we know that our God is our creator, provider, deliverer, protector, redeemer, God of gods, Lord of lords, the one we turn to, the giver of daily bread, every good gift we have. We also know he's a God of healing, of miracle, of provision, even if the healing isn't what we would term miraculous. He also works ordinarily through means. It's still his work, his action, his blessing, his providence. The praise is still all his. Here in Luke 17, we come before some desperate people, 10 lepers. And yet, we meet with, though 100% grace, bringing 100% healing, only 10% thankful. We want to look at this episode and what we can learn from it. We're introduced here that Jesus is on a journey to Jerusalem. Quite a bit of the narrative in this section of Luke is Jesus on this journey to Jerusalem as he makes his way through this border territory of Galilee and Samaria. So maybe it's not altogether surprising that we discover a Samaritan in the mix here. For us, Samaritan means little. But if you just search your own heart, and wherever you have a prejudice, a natural dislike for people, you shouldn't, but you do. It's something you repent of and fight against, but it's there if you'll admit it. You know, I don't like people of this economic class, or I don't like people of this color, or I don't like people from that background, whatever it is. Okay, now think of Samaritans in that time and age where Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other, weren't fond of each other, didn't speak well of each other. And that's why the Samaritan woman at the well, you, a Jew, talking to me, a Samaritan, really? That was the rub. The Samaritans who were afoul theologically, and the Samaritans who, to put it in an ugly way, were a half-breed people because they weren't purebred Jews. Foreigners had been thrown into that land and they were made to intermarry and so forth. And so that's the rub and the fight. It was theirs. Oh, we're in Samaritan territory. Let's get out of here fast. We don't belong here. There they are on this journey, making their way. And we're told he was going into a village and 10 men who had leprosy met him, stood at a distance. Of course they stood at a distance, they had to. Lepers with their skin disease were unclean people, which meant they couldn't participate in social life. They couldn't participate in synagogue worship or go to temple. They couldn't participate in business affairs. They were outcast people, kind of homeless, without money. They had to be beggars, scrimp by, and keep your distance, keep your distance. They were ceremonially unclean, and thus they had the taint of sin and death and guilt all over them. And this was according to Levitical prescription. Leviticus 13 talks about this quite explicitly. And when someone was afflicted this way, Leviticus 13, verse 45, the person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. And as long as he has the infection, he remains unclean, an outcast. The problem these people, these 10 men had, was more than, well, you know, I have eczema or something, which could also cast you out. You know, I got a rash. I got a skin blister. It will go away in time. This was a perpetual dreaded disease that would only get progressively worse. But it wasn't just the disease. It was all the social stigma. And that's why they're keeping their distance. And what do? Well, we're told they cry out in a loud voice, partly to be heard, partly out of their desperation. They stood at a distance, called, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, have pity on us. You translate what that means. What do you think it means? We're desperate. Master, the one who's performing miracles and healing, we've heard of you. May your mercy fall on us. The reply is very interesting because Jesus, when he sees them, says, "Go, show yourself to the priests." What? Well, that's really a great act of faith, or it would take a great act of faith, because the only reason you would go to show yourself to the priests, which was also according to Levitical prescription, is because the priest can look at me, discover and account for, certify that I'm healed, and now I can be restored to the social world. I can be hired, I can make a living, I can pursue, I can engage with people, I can go to worship, I can offer sacrifice, I can be part of the worshiping community, I can go hear the word of God, I can look to God. I'm no longer outcast, homeless, desperate. I can get part of things. To be healed of the disease was a lot more than just, now I feel better physically. My whole life can get going and be on track. And I can fellowship with God and with his people. Jesus saying, "Go, show yourself to the priest," was a saying. You would say that, well, now that you're healed, do that. But they weren't healed yet. They had to trust the word of Jesus. Go, show yourself to the priest. But by the time they would get there, there's a good reason to show themselves. Indeed, we're told, as they're on their way, they're healed. That's precisely, as they went, they were, in fact, we're not even told they're healed. We're told they're cleansed. Because again, that's the bigger problem. Not the disease and what it does to you physically, the disease and what it did to you spiritually. And where it placed you. Unclean, unclean. Cleanse. Have you ever thought of yourself unclean, unclean in the blood of Jesus cleansed? You should. That's what baptism means. The washing of water reminds us that you don't wash what's not dirty. You don't bring the little innocent infant, but you bring the tainted with Adam's sin and guilty and damnable with eternal damnation with Adam's sin and will only grow up to have all their own actual sins. Dirty, you only wash what's dirty. And they need the same grace, the same blood of cleansing as an infant as we do as adults. And the promise of salvation comes to them for cleansing, for healing, the washing away of sin as infant, as adult. And they're called to the same faith we are. Infant, adult, called the same. Go be cleansed. And they're cleansed, we're told. Now all of this is a setup for something that's rather startling. Because upon reaching the priest would inspect them. Yeah, you're clean. Your skin's pure. It's all gone. You're well. And they would be certified clean and things would go back. Only one, however. In discovering what has happened to him on their way, turns back. Man, before I get to priest, before I get back to all the blessings of being reinstated socially, spiritually, everything else, before any of that, he heads back to Jesus. And we're told very explicitly, he came back praising God in a loud voice. You say to yourself, well, you know, I'm not a conspicuous kind of person. I'm a little shy. I keep things kind of bottled up, you know. I'm a bottled up guy. I'm a Dutchman. I'm a bottled up guy. I just got my stuff. I'm brimming with gratitude. It's all just kind of, you know, even when I say I love my wife, it's all kind of love. I look away. Because I'm a bottled up guy. But this guy's not going to be bottled up. with a loud voice. He's praising God. People can hear him. Wow, this is something wonderful. He's extolling the Lord. He's making public testimony. He makes his way back to Jesus with his loud. It was with a loud voice they said, "Have pity!" With a loud voice, now shouting praise to God, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. He laid himself flat. He worshiped him. And thanked him. And then the bombshell. Uh-oh. Oh no. He's a Samaritan. For us, that'd be like, and he was a theological liberal, or he was a Roman Catholic, or maybe even he was an agnostic. But he's praising God now. What? Yeah. It's a shocker. It's the foreigner who's filled with gratitude. Now, not only is it only one guy out of 10, but it's the one guy of the 10 that you'd least expect. 10%, 100% miracle, 100% healing. They're all healed, all on their way, all miraculous, all by grace, all by mercy, all by pity. But one is praising God. We find a Thanksgiving day that's a 10% rating. I wonder what happens in America on a day like this. What percentage of the population is thankful? But it's always to point fingers out beyond to the foreigners. What about the church? How thankful are we? And how often are we thankful? And thankful for what? Or another way we might want to think about it is, how often are we thankful versus murmuring? Remember the murmuring generation? The complainers, the whiners, the wilderness generation, the ones who perished in the desert sands generation, the ones, well, we had this manna again. What are we having today? Manna again. Oh, would you rather starve? Why can't we have some meat? Would you prefer it spoil between your teeth? Indeed, if I ask myself how much I murmur versus how much I praise and thank God for blessings, I hope I'm doing better than 10%, but am I? Here are 10 men who have, this was a huge miracle. Not just that I'm standing straight and my skin is healthy now, but my whole life has been turned around. I've gone from economic bankruptcy to hope, from a religious outcast to community and communion and fellowship. My life has just been stood on its head or put back on its feet, and I can march forward, and yet only one. And it's the foreigner, the Samaritan. And it gives us pause that we need to be people that celebrate a day and how wonderful we can and do, but it's a call also for us to live what our own catechism reminds us of, to live lives of gratitude, of thanksgiving. To actually see and stand amazed at amazing grace. That we don't deserve the salvation we have, but it's a free gift. We haven't merited some of it, so that's why we're Jews and not Samaritans, or we're believers and not unbelievers, or we're this kind of believer and not that kind of compromised believer. We're pure, we're better, and we deserve it more. No! You don't deserve it more. Indeed, we have all the more reason that if you've done a little traveling in the world and been to other lands and places, or you meet with foreign people from other lands and places, and as bad as the scandal in our own government and the reputation of our leaders and the disappointment we can have, and rightly so, and so much, other nations know far more corrupt government and courtrooms and all the rest. And it's very difficult to make your way in a land that's filled with corruption. How thankful we can be that it's not worse than it is, and all the reason to pray more for mercy that it would get better than it is and not worse. We're a people, and we know it. We're among the most privileged, wealthiest people in the history of the human race. And yet we get jaded. Our youth can become cold and privileged and expectant, like we deserve it all. And then I submit we're becoming a kind of 10% thankful instead of lives filled with gratitude. A Thanksgiving Day, not to diminish it, but to call us to its full implication. Because we serve 100% God of 100% grace and beyond. A God who's with us in our every need, not just sometimes. A God who's ever present in our troubles and our sorrows, not temporary, not part-time. Not some small percent God of small percent grace, but 100% grace and 100% faithful. Who never leaves us, never forsakes us, is always with us. You can cry to him, and you can cry to him, and he hears. And perhaps on this Thanksgiving Day, you have reasons to cry, things that break your heart, prayers you're awaiting answers to, things that give you trouble. It doesn't lessen your gratitude, but we're not on the other side of glory. We're still straining. We're still bearing cross, not yet bearing the fullness of crown, right? As we bear cross and suffer a kind of death, we continue to cry out to God, just like we read in Psalm 107. Some of the stuffs we cry out about, we brought on ourselves, our own sinful habits bring some of the misery into our lives. Other things happen to us, like those who are on a ship and suddenly the seas are stirred up and their very lives are threatened. Sometimes a disease comes and turns our life upside down. Sometimes someone else hurts us in some way, betrays us perhaps. There's all kinds of things that bring sorrow and tears in our lives, but we're not going to be 10% thankful because of the certain percentage of problems we have. We're going to be 100% thankful. We're going to be the other nine coming back with the other, praising God in a loud voice because he's called us his own. He's made his covenant promises, and he keeps them. And we plead those promises on behalf of others who have spurned them and ask God to fulfill his promises in them in spite of themselves, because we all have to be brought to our senses, whether it's when we're 2 or 3 years old or 14 or 24 or 74 or beyond. All of us have to be brought to our senses and come to him in Jesus Christ. And look what God offered. Not 10% love. Not 10% of a Savior. Not 10% of mercy. But he comes and offers his very Son, his very self, what is most dear, to make us, whom he holds most dear, his very own. Now, how can we withhold from one who's so faithful, so good, so true? How can we withhold part of our hearts from him? He's a wholehearted Lord calling us to give our whole hearts and lives back. No, not 10%. Lord, always 100%. Forgive me of my 90% murmuring and 10% praising. Forgive me for keeping score of your love and mercy in my life as if I know how to do the math in addition with all of this. Forgive me, Lord, of blindly going my way, thinking somehow, well, of course I'm healed and I'll show myself to the priest because I kind of deserve it anyway. A yawn. No, Lord, may I be filled with joy and thanksgiving for every blessing that comes to me. And if I don't live in the house that I'm coveting, I need to stop coveting that and be grateful for the house he's put me in. And if I'm coveting something else, I need to stop coveting and become 100% thankful for the grace and blessing he's offered to me and takes care of me in. Because you realize in Jesus Christ, we're already kings, we're already royalty, we're already, if I may put it this way, rich and wealthy beyond bounds, that the kingdoms of the earth, all the glories that belong to Christ are the glories that he'll share with his people. That we already have reason to give loud voice praise to God for his mercy to us. We're told here that the Jesus asking about the other nine, and yet it's only the foreigner. Lord, we would all be foreigners if you didn't make us children. But even this foreigner is a son of God, for his faith has made him well, his faith in the Christ, and that's what we're called to on Thanksgiving Day, to put our faith afresh in the one who's the way, the truth, the life, the only answer for us. So whether your life is going swell, whether you're in deep valleys and pits and trials, whether you're, wow, getting old is tough. I never didn't expect that. I thought it was all supposed to get easier. It doesn't. You know, I thought when there were four, it was difficult. Now when they're 14, it's more difficult. Now I've got to get them through college. That's more difficult. Now I'm getting old, and that's more difficult. But he's faithful. And he sees us through. And he'll never let us go. And he does heal our diseases, but he also brings us to the day where we face the last enemy. Final one, death and curse and grave. And he's the one who delivers us from that body of death and promises us new resurrection. Indeed, can we not offer 100% gratitude, thankfulness for the God who's 100% and beyond faithful and good to us? May we take that with us on this wonderful Thanksgiving Day. I give thanks to our Lord, our Savior, to the Christ, and for his people, because with all of our struggles and failures, we need the same grace, and he gives it to us in Christ our Lord. Praise his name. Amen. Lord, hear our prayer as we come to you. Indeed, may we not be 10% thankful, but wholly filled with gratitude, for your love isn't a 10% love, but endures forever. Fill our hearts with this as we give praise to you this day. For Jesus' sake, amen. Shall we sing number 286? With grateful heart, my thanks I bring. Number 286, standing the same.